Couldn't find the link.
That's all right. We got everybody, so I'll call the meeting to order. And everybody should have the agenda in front of them. Is there anybody, any changes to the agenda, Alex? Do we still need to drop number two?
Yes, sir. That would be the staff recommendation, just to vote to remove number two, purely because the applicant has withdrawn their application.
Yeah, I tried to call Dennis Moser this afternoon and got his voicemail and didn't hear back from him. So any other changes to the agenda?
Since this is a called meeting, I don't think we can change any, can we?
I don't think we can. Special meeting.
That's correct. Only what's on the agenda is allowed.
All right. Well, we can drop it or just skip over it. Is that what we do, Mac?
I think you can drop it. Yes, sir.
All right. Can I get a motion to pull number two from the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Mr. Martin, second by Mr. Scholl. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? That's unanimous. So number two's off the end. All righty. So we'll go to number three, text amendment 20-06.01, the ERISA Holdings. Lynn, I'll turn it over to you. Lynn, you on?
Hey, Lynn, Alex. There
you go. I was muted. This is a request. It's a text amendment that was made by ERISA Holdings to increase the height for townhomes in the Old Monroe Overlay District to allow for three-story buildings there. We heard the staff presentation as well as the presentation by the applicant at the last meeting. I'm more than happy to go over that and have that presentation available if you'd like to hear it again. If not, I'll be glad to answer any questions.
All right. Anybody need to hear the presentation again?
No, sir.
So I only have one question, Lynn. How would us voting on, and Mac, how would us voting on 45 feet in the Old Monroe bypass small area plan affect the decision we made to deny the apartments behind the Harris Teeter on Ottawa Road, you know, going from 41 to, what was it, 46 or 45? Would those two be related or two separate issues or?
Two separate issues, Mayor. I think you can vote on them separately and make a different decision in this one than what you made in the last one. Land use decisions are almost always very unique.
All right.
And this one is specific to the Monroe Bypass Small Area Plan.
Right. All righty. Any discussion?
This is my one question for tonight.
No way.
Mac, this is a law question. So, Mac, I mean, when my understanding is that when ERISA Holdings takes in, they've requested that we bump up to 25, then they have to request that the new ordinance is reflected against their project, because so they can take advantage of the new 45 change. With the other changes that we're making tonight, are voting on, which completely changes the ordinance to a point where building what they're building over there would require a conditional zoning. Does that mean that they have to come back through the conditional zoning process now that they've elected to go with the new ordinance? And if they do, you know, how would we handle that? And if we don't, can you just kind of give us a little, I'm just looking for a little bit of education from a law perspective as to why they would have to apply to do the 45, but not also have to get conditional zoning based on the fact that they're going to request to use the new ordinance.
Let me get Lynn to straighten out some of the facts for me. Lynn, is this a development agreement project or is it a CZ? What's the status of this one?
This is a development agreement.
In that case, they are locked in for the regulations at the time that their application was submitted, But that doesn't mean that you and they can't agree to let them use after adopted ordinances. And my guess is that's what they're going to be asking to do. Lynn, I have not looked at the development agreement on this. What's the definition of minor amendment in this DA? And specifically, would it cover a change in height?
I don't want to incorrectly speak, but I'm not sure that the DA itself, and John Carmichael, I don't think John worked on this one, but I don't think the DA itself defines minor and major. I believe that's something that is just in the, that we've referred to the legislation on development agreements.
In that case, Mr. Ayers, Lynn and I will piece this together tomorrow morning.
Okay. I mean, you do see where I'm coming from though, right?
I do.
Because they're going to want to use the new ordinance, and it would seem like the whole ordinance would apply. Okay.
And can I make one statement too? I apologize.
Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt. But want to point out too that when the development agreement was approved, there were elevations attached that were three stories that were approved as part of the DA and are an exhibit of that DA. I think at the time they hadn't done any architectural renderings or engineering, so they weren't exactly sure the total number of feet that would be needed. And I think that it was just something that they assumed, since it was approved as part of the DA, that height would be permitted. So I'm not sure that allows the three stories or not, Mac, but that's something that we can discuss as well.
That sounds like it might be enough to just make this a minor amendment, but we will talk it through in the morning. Thank you, Mr. Ayers.
Okay, thank you.
So do we need to wait until y'all make that decision, or can we move forward?
I will predict for you that the answer is going to be this is a minor amendment, and at the worst, it will come back to council for a small amendment to either their site plan or to the development agreement to make this one small change. But no, it will not require them to start all over.
All right, so we can take action on this text amendment tonight.
Yes, sir, I believe you can.
All right, thank you. Any other discussion or questions?
Mayor.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to comment on this. When I first heard about this request, I was not going to support it. But after learning that it really does not affect other areas, and knowing that this is in the probable light rail corridor, I am prepared tonight to support it.
All right. Thank you, Linda. Any other comments or questions? All right, hearing none, can I get a motion?
I'll make a motion to approve the height amendment from 25 feet to 45 feet for the properties located within the Monroe Bypass Small Area Plan.
All right, motion by Mr. Scholl.
Second.
Seconded by Mr. Ayers to approve the request to amend the height for the attached single family from 25 to 45 feet for properties located within the Monroe Bypass Small Area Plan. So, Ann, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxson.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right, well, that's unanimous 6-0. Thank y'all. All right, we'll move down to number 4A. We'll do these individually. So we got a text amendment 20-06.02, which would amend the development ordinance to remove language linking the ordinance to small area plans. Does anybody need Lynn or Mac to go over this one more time? Any questions or comments? All right, can I get a motion, please?
Mayor, I'll make a motion to amend development ordinance to remove language linking ordinance small area plans, text amendment 20.06.02.
All right, motion by Mr. Richardson. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Second by Mr. Ayers. So, Aaron, could you do the roll call, please?
Sure. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous 6-0. Thank y'all. Next up is 4B, the text amendment 20.06.03, the change development agreement requirements to apply only to large projects. So I'll open the floor. Any comments or questions? You know, we did receive some feedback on this one, but
this is Brad. I think absent condition E, I wouldn't be supporting it, but I am tonight for that condition E about a subcommittee policy. So I'll make a motion to approve text amendment 20.06.03 to change the development agreement requirements to apply only to large projects that is over 25 acres.
All right.
Can I ask a question?
Sure can.
Before we jump into a vote, especially of Brad. Brad, what did you just say? And please explain what your thoughts were on that. The conditional zoning policy or E?
Sure. Yeah, I'm voting for all of these tonight, David. I think it's been a priority of the council since I've been on it to strengthen the council's ability to review projects early, to say no, to gain some leverage. So I think each of these does it in its own way. This one is important to me because absent condition E, which is what we'll vote on later to establish a subcommittee policy identical or nearly identical to the development agreement process, I think this would be a weakening of our ability to gain leverage.
So item B, without E, what happens to things that are not large projects?
They go through most of them, if I understand it, go now through a conditional zoning process where council by policy will set up a subcommittee process nearly identical to a development agreement process. It's my understanding, and I could be corrected if I'm wrong, but I think that's what Lynn and I think our attorney has advised.
Yeah, I don't mean to put you on the spot. I was just, the only hole in that one was what about under 25 projects? What happens there? No matter what the use is, 25-acre projects would be not subject to the development agreement anymore?
They'd be subject, many of them would, I feel like I'm answering a staff question, many of them would be subject to conditional zoning because of all the changes we're making tonight, including item D. Now, there would be some that are by right that would just, from a staff standpoint, it's a little bit overkill from my perspective to take a development agreement process to every single development in the town. I'm not sure everyone agrees, but that's what I think.
I agree on that. So, okay, cool. Thank you.
I would add to that, Mr. Richardson, Mr. Scholl, that the CZ process actually gives you better control over the items in a proposal that you care about. The development agreement is a pretty blunt instrument, but the CZ is a very, very tactical instrument. You can get to the sorts of things that I've heard y'all talk about that you care most about.
All right, thank you.
I'm gonna put Brad on the spot because I had a conversation with Brad and he really helped me change some perspective on this. Originally, you know, I was thinking that, you know, council develop, you know, being involved and voting was like the ultimate goal here. However, you know, after really thinking about it, really, we should be making our ordinances so the town staff can run independently of ourselves. So it's really a complete change of direction. And instead of doing development agreements as oversight, our focus should be more on making sure our ordinance matches. I mean, we take out the gray areas of our ordinance so that Lynn's life is much easier. She doesn't have to worry about going back and forth or, you know, a lot of trivial details. We get the ordinance is spelling out the desire of the council, so we don't have to have an oversight of a development agreement for every development.
All right. Thank you, Stephen. Any other comments, questions? All right. Can I get a motion for 4B?
I think I made the motion.
Oh, that's right. You made the motion. That's right. Brad Richardson made the motion to approve text amendment 20.06.03 as written. Can I get a second?
Okay. Oh, man. I might have a second question here. Because I think
you said you were going to have one tonight.
I know, but this is Brad made a good point. And I'm just asking the group before we actually take a vote is that I think Brad specifically is saying that he's okay with B if D and E gets approved. So I guess my question is should we approve D and E first for that purpose or?
Mr. Ayers, I think that was the sentiment I had tonight through all of our public hearing and discussion. There was really no debate about DNA.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to make sure. So, sorry.
No problem.
That's a great question. That's logical.
All right. Can I get a second, please?
A second.
Second by Mr. Ayers to approve 4B as written. Aaron, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right. Thank you, Aaron. So that's unanimous. 4B is approved. Next up is 4C, text amendment 20.06.04, create a process where the comprehensive land use plan and small area plans are being amended during the rezoning CZ process. So anybody need a refresher from Mac or Lynn on what we're voting on here? Any discussion or questions from the council?
Sure. If I may, Mac, I'd like you to just talk about this in relation to the new ordinance coming online next July. I don't know that I understand it entirely. I had a constituent send an email to me, I think to everyone else, asking about this one in particular. So you explain it.
What this amendment does, Mr. Richardson, is bring our ordinance in line with what the new Chapter 160D of the General Statutes will make general law for everyone in the state next July. What this does is if you pass a CZ rezoning and it's inconsistent with the plan at the moment you pass it, this is basically saying if it's inconsistent, then we are changing the plan to be consistent with what we just rezoned on the theory that you wouldn't have rezoned it if you weren't also intending to change the plan for that particular spot. Doesn't mean you can't change it later for a different project. It just tries to match up what your rezoning is with the plan so that they match and you can be consistent.
All righty. Any other questions or discussion? All right, can I get a motion on 4C?
I'll make that motion. To create a process where the comprehensive land use plan and small area plans are being amended during the rezoning CZ process.
All right, can I get a second, please?
I'll second.
All right, second by Ms. Grooms to approve text amendment 20.06.04. Aaron, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
This one makes me very nervous, but knowing that it's going to be law in July, I am supporting it, so I'll say aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
I'm the same with Linda, but yes, aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. Thank y'all. All right, next up is 4D, Text Amendment 20.06.05, where we reviewed the table of uses and made townhomes and other identified uses within the MU1 and MU2 districts conditional zoning CZ. So does anybody need to Mac or Lynn to go over this text amendment? All right. If not, can I get a motion from somebody, please?
I'll make the motion to approve text amendment 20.06.05, reviewing the table of uses to make townhomes and other identified uses within MU1 and MU2 districts conditional zoning.
All right. Any other further discussion? Can I get a second, please?
Okay.
Who was that first?
David.
David, okay, Mr. Scholl. A motion by Mrs. Paxton, second by Mr. Scholl to approve text amendment 20.06.05. Aaron, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. Aaron, Lynn, and Mac, did the council need to vote on statements of reasonableness on any of these? I can't remember. I saw on the agenda packet.
Lynn, is that part of the agenda packet?
Yes, there were statements of consistency and reasonableness prepared and were included in the original information sent out to council.
Yes, so do we need to vote on them tonight?
Two choices. One is to assume that that was part of your motion. The other is to adopt a motion at the end of the next one that says we are adopting all of those.
All right, we'll do it at the end of this one then. Thank you, Mac.
Can we do them carte blanche?
Yeah. That's what I heard. He's shaking his head. Yes. So that's good. We won't have to go through each one. All right. 4E, conditional zoning subcommittee policy. Let's review that one. Make sure everybody's on board. Clear. Lynn or somebody can give us a. Is it
language? Aaron, I'm sorry, Mayor.
That's all right. Yeah, you were going to do it. Put the language up on the screen.
I was just going to have Aaron pull that up so we could just view it together, and I'd be happy to walk you all through it.
Thank you.
I think, Aaron, it may have been a separate presentation. Oh, no, there it is. Great. The policy that we created basically requires a subcommittee review of all conditional zoning applications. They would be presented to the council members, and we would assume that all conditional zonings would go through this process unless the entire subcommittee advised staff that a subcommittee was not needed. And for instance, we may get a very small application for a single lot home or just a single lot development or something very small, like maybe just a few lots. The subcommittee felt like a full-blown subcommittee process wasn't needed. The second step would be that staff would schedule that meeting once we received all the required documentation that was provided with the application. That would include a site plan, the TIA if applicable, complete list of how the proposed development differs from the development ordinance, and any other documents that were deemed necessary by the development administrator to understand how the project complies with town standards and policies. So the staff would make sure that the application was complete before we scheduled that first subcommittee meeting. Aaron, could you advance the slides? We would schedule these meetings. It would be very similar. I think Brad noted this evening, that this process is designed to be very similar to the process we use now for development agreements, and that we would hold these meetings at 5 o'clock prior to all regularly scheduled town council meetings based on availability. We understand that there may be a need for additional subcommittee meetings. We would schedule those using the same methodology. Additional meetings can be scheduled at alternative times if mutually agreed upon by the subcommittee, but we would use those standing meetings for these projects as well. The fourth requirement would be that the council subcommittee members with the application supporting materials, staff would provide those at least 3 business days in advance of the scheduled meeting. Typically, that would be the Wednesday prior to those Monday meetings, similar to how we distribute agenda packets. We would assign the subcommittee members as outlined in Table 7.1 of Article 7.15 of the Development Ordinance. We created a system of how subcommittees were appointed for development agreements, and we would just use that same process here. And then the information from anything that came out of these subcommittee meetings, staff would include the recommendations and comments in the Planning Board packet. Staff prepares staff reports, and we would include all this information in that report, and it would be provided to the Planning Board as a recommendation from the subcommittee. And then finally, the subcommittee step is designed to encourage dialogue between the applicant and council members and to help facilitate discussion. We would want to make sure that the applicant understood, because this is conditional zoning, that this process is not to be construed as an approval or a denial of the proposed application of any kind, or any kind of commitment by the town whatsoever. Since they are conditional zonings and not development agreements, we just want them to understand that it would still have to go through the process, go through the public hearing procedure, and that the decision, a final decision, would be made by council. So that is the policy as written. And I'll just turn it over to council for discussion.
All right, thank you, Lynn. Any comments or questions? All right, hearing none, can I get a motion on 4E, excuse me.
I'll make the motion to approve the conditional zoning subcommittee policy as presented by our town planner.
All right, motion by Ms. Paxton, can I get a second?
Second.
Who was that?
John.
Second by Mr. Martin. Aaron, could you do a roll call, please?
Yes, sir. District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Aye.
All right, that's unanimous. So next up is we need to do the, as Max saying, we need to do the statement of reasonableness and consistency. And Mac, we can do them all at one time.
Yes, sir. I'm assuming that, Lynn, they are all, in fact, identical. Is that correct?
Yes.
I thought so. So, yes, Mayor, you can.
All righty.
I'd make it, but I don't know how to word it. What's the word we're using?
What's the wording, Mac?
Your motion would be to approve the reasonableness and consistency statements for all of the text amendments and policy adopted this evening.
All righty.
So moved.
So moved by Mr. Richardson and a second by Mr. Scholl. Was that correct?
Yep.
All right. Any other questions? Aaron, could you do a roll call, please?
Can I ask a question before we move?
Sure.
Did we need to have one for Orissa Holdings as well, the item 3?
I can't remember if that was one in the, it was a public hearing.
The answer would be, was there one in the back then?
Yes, there was one prepared and was included in the original packet.
All right.
Then the motion as read said covered all of them as covered tonight. So that would include it.
I think so. Yes, sir.
All right, okay. Good. Thank you, David.
Aye.
All right, do the roll call, please, Aaron.
District 1, Martin.
Aye.
District 2, Scholl.
Aye.
District 3, Paxton.
Aye.
District 4, Grooms.
Aye.
District 5, Ayers.
Aye.
District 6, Richardson.
Brad?
Oh, I'm sorry. Aye. I said aye. My dog barked at the same time, so we missed it.
Yeah, he can't vote. All right, that's 6-0 unanimous, and so that passes. And so we got plenty of time for 7:14 for Stephen to win the bet. So I'll turn it. Alex, do you have anything you need to add tonight while you got us all here?
Sir, I did take the over, but
well.
I went with the under. Thank you, Mr. Ayers.
Yeah, I'm not going to let you talk for 12 minutes. So if you got anything, speak now or talk to you later.
Talk to an empty screen.
Yeah. All right. Can I get a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Motion by second. Mr. Scholl, second by Mr. Ayers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. Motion to adjourn passes. All right. Thank you all for your time. Have a good evening.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you.